This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, we did call the meeting to order. And let's do roll call again.
Councilman Nelson.
Here.
Councilman Fagerly.
Here.
Councilman Osmus.
Here.
Councilman Plowman. Three present, one absent, also in attendance, Finance Director Olken, City Clerk Thompson, and reporter Shelby Lindrud from the West Central Tribune.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Olken. Our action items are special assessment hearings, which we will need a motion, and we are going to go to Clerk Thompson to lead us on those.
Okay, the first item is for the special assessment unpaid weed and grass mowing removal charges. Annually, we certify these to the county for collection on taxes. This is the beginning of the process. So we do have before you on your paperwork are the accounts that are delinquent for unpaid weed and grass mowing charges. And it is staff's recommendation that we forward these on to council and set a public hearing for 7:01 p.m. on September 21st for these charges.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Motion by Fagerly, second by Osmus, to set a public hearing for 7:01 on September 21st for special assessment hearing for unpaid weed and grass mowing. I just have one question. Are these this year's charges, or do these actually end up being left over from last year?
That I can't say. We get these from Public Works Department, so I would have to defer to them to answer when these charges occurred. They just give us the address and the name and the dollar amount. So I don't know when these charges occurred.
It just feels like there's a lot that still needs to be done this year. That's why I was just asking that question. So are there any other questions? Seeing none, we will do a roll call.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Three ayes, zero nays. Motion passes.
Okay. The next item is the recommendation for us to set a public hearing for the unpaid removal of a hazardous building. And that information is before you on your documents. And it is staff's recommendation to forward this on to council and set a public hearing for 7:02 p.m. on September 21st.
I'll make that motion to set that meeting for September 21st.
Second. Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second to set the meeting for September 21st at 7:02 for unpaid nuisances and general activities, special assessment hearings. So any discussion? All right, we will do roll call.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Three ayes, zero nays. That motion passes.
All right.
And the last item for related to special assessments is for the unpaid snow and ice removal charges. And those parcels are before you in your documents that we are recommending that we forward on to council to set a public hearing for 7:03 p.m. on September 21st.
All right.
I'll make that motion to set that meeting for September 21st for the special assessment hearing for unpaid snow and ice removal charges.
Second.
Okay, we do have a motion and a second to set the special assessment hearing for the unpaid snow and ice removal charges. Any discussion? All right, roll call.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Three ayes, zero nays. That motion passes.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Clerk Thompson, too.
Thank you. there's no further questions, I will then sign off.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Oh, no. Don't you want to stay with us, Judy? Nice out or anything?
It's been a long day and no break, so I'm ready to go home. Thanks.
Have a good night, Judy. Okay, so that's the end of our action items, and under discussion items, our first one is listed as sales tax analysis funding level review. And I think hopefully try to accomplish a couple of things tonight to review what we have for liabilities from a cash standpoint, or liabilities for architects and construction managers and other cash that we've paid out of the funds, to also talk about the item that was brought up at the last council meeting on the 10%, how that works and how we would do that if we were to do it, and then to review some bonding options, but also hopefully to try to see if there's any other questions on kind of where we're at and what we've committed to so far. And just, and I hope this will be received for information and just to clarify questions, and that if we have further questions to help us move along in our understanding of where we are and where we aren't. That's what I hope to accomplish tonight with this. And I know Mr. Oakens has put together some information, and I'm going to let him take it away and talk to us.
Okay, Councilman Nelson, I'm going to share my screen again. And this is the actual statute. And this is the section that talks about the 10% deviation allowed by statute. And as you can see there, it reads, notwithstanding the limits listed in paragraph A, which is the projects. I'm going to kind of manipulate here so I can see that on the screen. Okay, it lists the six projects that were authorized and voted on by the voters. It says the city may by ordinance, and I've confirmed this with City Attorney Scott, reallocate up to 10% of the funds designated for one or more projects listed in that paragraph, the six listed, to other projects listed in that paragraph. And confirming with Attorney Scott, our interpretation of this is that any one of the six projects that you see listed there, that 10%, it can be reduced by 10%, any one or more of those projects, and reallocated to any one of the other projects. Example would be if the council so chose to take 10% of the recreation and event center. That's the maximum amount that that project could be reduced and moved to any one of the other projects. So it's basically a maximum amount that can be reduced. Another example would be if you wanted to take 10% of the recreation and event center. You could also take 10% of the stormwater and move both of those to another project if you so choose. So the 10% is basically a item that the projects can not be reduced by more than 10% and reallocated. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so clarify for me, you can do this one time, 10, or you can do it seven times, or you, how, I mean, you could, we could do that with each of the projects if we wanted to, or how do we do that?
Yes, again, you have six projects. And so again, you would be limited, you could do it as many times as you wanted to, but you would be restricted to no more than 10% of any one of those projects can be reduced. So any one of those projects cannot be reduced by more than 10%. So you could take 5% at one time and another 5% a second time from the same project, as long as it did not exceed a reduction of 10%.
But in order to move the money, would you need to know what project you were taking it from at the time?
Yes, it would have to be included in the ordinance, and you would have to do the publication, set a public hearing, introduce the ordinance, set a public hearing, and go through that whole ordinance process. So you would have to know which other project you are moving it to.
Okay.
So there is no restriction as far as holding back or restricting the dollar amounts as they were approved in the statute. It's just a restriction on that the projects cannot be reduced by more than 10%.
Okay.
And I have confirmed that with Attorney Scott.
All right. Any questions that, Councilmember Fagerly, you have a question? Any questions?
One other item that I'd like to clarify is that there are two 10% numbers that have been kind of used, and the 10% of contingencies that the council has chosen to put on the projects was a recommendation from staff that 10% be used as a contingency and 15% for architects and engineering. That 10% number is different than the statute restriction. That 10% is entirely up to the council. It's to cover unknown or unforeseen items that come up once projects are done. That percentage can be reduced by council action at any time, especially with a construction manager on a project. They are usually, Administrator Grommets has sent me that New Ulm has an event center where they have a 5% contingency because they have a construction manager. And so when they hire the construction manager, they put the restriction on a not to exceed. And so when you have a construction manager monitoring a project, the chances of running into unforeseen soil corrections or those types of things are somewhat limited because that's what you hire them to monitor.
So Mr. Grammett sent out an email after the council meeting basically stating, kind of like for us to just hold, that he thought the contingency was good, but that it could be addressed. I'm assuming that he meant like after the bids came in. Does anyone else have a thought with that, with what he was referring to in his email? He's not available, and so if that's a question that we need to have clarified, we can certainly ask for that and come back with that information.
The conversation I had with Administrator Grommets is that at the time of the bids, that contingency can be addressed, especially those projects that have a construction manager and can be reduced. And so the committees then could have additional dollars or approve alternates at the time that the bids are known. So you have,
when the bids are reviewed and approved, is that what you're referencing, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about the 10% that's in the law, that the way our documents were approved? Is everybody understanding how that would work? I apologize. I now have company and construction going on outside that's intriguing the dog. I might have to get her away from the door here. I apologize.
Councilman Nelson, I see that Dr. Hammond has joined the meeting. That's the only one that I showed in.
Libby, come here. Not succeeding. Okay, so we're good with that information for tonight on the 10%. I'm not seeing either one ask any questions here. All right. and an understanding of the 10% contingency and the 15% for architects. And those are things that can be reviewed. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Oakens, if you want to move on to your next stuff.
Earlier this year, Administrator Grommets had given to the council a summary of the soft costs and construction manager costs. What I've done here on this slide is updated that summary sheet to show the possibility of using dollars that we anticipate to have collected for the first 15 months of the year. The last notification from the Department of Revenue was sent out to the Invest in Wilmer Group as well as the City Council, showing that we are averaging $68,000. Yes.
Julie's got her hand up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I share my screen, people go away.
That's fine. But I can't see those numbers. Did we get that sent to us?
That's the email that I was referring to you that Steve sent out this afternoon that I asked you about.
The statute stuff.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, then I can bring that up on my screen and spread it. I thought it was just that statute stuff.
Okay. No. There should have been three attachments. It was the statute, this worksheet that is the soft cost, and then the analysis that we worked with Baker Tilly. All documents should have been attached, and they are on the Dropbox as well.
Okay, why don't we just take a second,
Councilman Osmus?
If everyone has that, because it is very difficult to see the screen, and if we have it in front of us. Shelby, okay. Are you okay with that? Do you have the document or not?
I've got it, thanks.
Thank you.
Since it's
Rick,
difficult.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
I do.
Dr. Tony, thanks. Okay.
Yep. All right. Rather than see the screen and that way I can see everybody's faces, I will kind of go through this sheet again. But again, as I mentioned, our anticipated total collections for the 15 months is $2.5 million is what we project that we will have collected for the first 15 months. That again is based on an average of $168,000, which is based on the distribution, the spreadsheet that was sent out recently to everyone. With $2.5 million in the bank, we would be able to cover all the soft costs for all the projects except for Senior Center City Hall project. We would be able to cover approximately $274,000 worth of construction engineering costs, primarily the majority of that for Swanson Field. We have incurred additional construction manager costs for the rec fields and the event center. That's on a prorated basis. It would not cover, you know, the majority of those, but it would cover what we've been billed to date and an estimated amount through the end of the year. And we would be able to cover the stormwater projected. You'll see there in the middle of the page, we have stormwater hard costs of about $500,000. Everything that's planned for this year, that would leave $500,000 that we could apply to hard costs to other projects. And on the following slide that I will show you, I applied that to Robbins Island since we have contract with Dunnick Brothers to do the roads and parking lots. It could be applied to any of the hard costs once we would know them. Again, you would not have to apply any of this cash to any hard costs. You could carry that and bond for more. And so what I did here was just in my analysis, I projected using all the cash that we collected through the end of the year of $2.5 million. To save on interest costs, but interest rates are favorable, so that would not have to be done. But to use the cash as we have that and pay for all the soft costs, the construction manager costs that we anticipate through the end of the year, the stormwater costs for sure, because we have contracts and have made those payments, And then that would leave the $500,000 that I would apply to, again, additional hard costs that we have a contract for at Robbins Island. Those are just assumptions and variables that I've plugged in there for the next slide. So before I move on, I'll just see if there's any questions on this soft cost analysis that Administrator Grauments had given earlier in the year.
Okay. I have a couple of questions, Steve, and I think they will need to be council decisions, but when we had a conversation about going ahead with Swanson Fields and Robbins Island, we had talked about our ability to be able to bond for the $5 million to cover that. So I'm kind of questioning the paying of the soft costs in cash as it relates to what we might need to do with stormwater and what is being projected to be done, you know, in the next years. And I don't know that information, and I don't know what's in the CIP for next year. And I think that those are decisions that I think we have to look at. Would we be better off to bond so that we have cash available to do that, or cash available to start other things? So I appreciate the information. And, you know, I know that we're still waiting on numbers for Robbins Island, and we're still going to be waiting on numbers for Swanson Fields. And so I don't know. And I think you had talked about some sort of construction loan, I think, before we bond. So when would we have to decide what the bond amount would need to be for Robbins Island and Swanson Fields?
Okay. The discussions, I'll address your first concern or item of information, and that's the stormwater. And I have confirmed this with the what's been submitted for, and I know the council has not seen this yet, the stormwater anticipated costs for the next 5 years under the capital improvement project, and have confirmed this with Sean Christensen, the Public Works Director, and taken that into consideration in my analysis on the next slide that we'll be discussing. We would be able to, again, and not necessarily have to, pay cash for stormwater work as it is proposed in the next 5 years, based on the scenarios that you have before you tonight. Now, again, we would have cash to do that, but it certainly could be bonded for as well. And that money used for, I guess it's interchangeable, and I'll talk about the timing on bonding and the construction loan. We have had conversations with the local lending institutions who just financed our street program. And we would have to go through the same process that we would have to if we sold bonds, but they are willing to do that. And at some point later on, either before the end of the year or shortly thereafter, the beginning of the year, be able to sell bonds. So as far as a timing on bonds, that can be done in before the end of the year or shortly thereafter, the beginning of the year. So once we know what Swanson Field numbers are, and once we know what Robbins Island numbers are, those will probably be the two projects that we'll have bids out by, possibly the athletic fields. I'm not sure on timing on that, of what the committees are talking about, but we can temporarily set up a construction loan for any and all of the projects at any time, based on conversations with the local lending institutions, and then at a point later on, sell permanent bonding to reimburse that, pay that loan off, and to set up the annual debt service. So we have both of those options available to us, and are having conversations with Baker Tilly. Have started conversations again on that, and on a couple other items that you'll see on the agenda for future financing, so that we're tying this all together and doing the best we can for the city as far as going out into the market. It's favorable now. We knew it was favorable when we sold the street bonds, and capturing the best interest rate we can. That's one thing the council will have to weigh of using cash versus borrowing money. And you have that option. You have that option. Did I answer your questions?
Yeah, I think so. The other question I have is the figures that are on here for costs to date, or costs so far, are they current, or do you still anticipate there's additional costs? Or I mean, I know the last time we talked about it, we were still waiting for signatures, and is there billing up to date? Is that the right way to say it?
These are maximum contract amounts. They're not paid to date. And the one additional one that need would be under the stormwater work. We do have a contract that for $212,000 that would replace that $250,000. But engineer Christensen has indicated he's got a couple small projects that would need to be done before the end of the year, so that he's comfortable with that $500,000. And then we also have Robbins Island contract that has just come into our office, and that's a little under $1.2 million.
Okay. All right.
Those are the two numbers that would change on this sheet as far as contracts into the office.
Okay. Councilmember Osmus.
What's the difference between the interest rate on the construction loans and the bond?
The construction loan would be slightly higher. We haven't got to that specific part yet. I did confirm with Baker Tilly in my next slide and analysis if 2% is still realistic, and they have indicated to me that it would probably be between 1% and 2%. And we just sold our street improvement bonds at 1.75, placed them locally. This is a revenue bond, which usually carries a slightly higher interest rate than a GO-backed bond. So it would probably be in that 1.75 to 2% rate. Rates have dropped a little bit since we've placed the other ones. So,
okay. So knowing that those rates are so low, we already know where we're kind of going to be sitting for Swanson, kind of where we're going to be sitting for Robbins Island and the athletic field. Since we have Dr. Ammon on, they're going to be, I think they're pretty close to going out. Would it be beneficial for right now to get that money while it's cheap, knowing that we're going to be spending it in the next 6 months, or having to have it available?
Well, I appreciate where you're going with this, but right now the only two projects that are authorized are Swanson Field and Robbins Island. And so part of what we have to decide is where are we at and what have we committed to, and then what can we afford to do after? So that's, I think, the reason that to try to see where we're at, first of all, before we go forward. And when the council said hold, part of that second hold is the operational cost side of that, of the transaction. And so, you know, I think we need to understand the financing part of it, but what is it gonna do to our budget is the second part of the question. And so, you know, I think to get this information understood before we commit to do something else, from what is it going to cost us to operate it? And I think that was information that they were trying to bring forward to us too, that, you know, with that, from that standpoint. But so we've got a lot of things in the works right now that I think we need to make sure we understand, and what are we going to do right now? And then what are we going to do next year?
Well, let's talk about then an update on the athletic fields, because I thought they were talking about going ahead with those softball fields.
That isn't really part of our conversation right now. Our conversation is to review the financial information. That's got to come up through the process of being approved. And so, you know, where they're at, I'm not sure what you're asking for, you know, with that. Our goal tonight,
I guess my feeling is they're only like a month away from a decision.
I understand, but what we're trying to do tonight at the finance meeting is to understand where we are right now, so that when the next pieces are presented, and even just to clarify what happened with Swanson Field the other night, so we understand where we are, so that we have the financial information to know, can we take the next steps? And so I know they're eager to do that, and but we don't have all of that. And what we're trying to do is get caught up with what we've committed to so far, to understand that, so that we can make good decisions going forward. And I hope that helps with Dr. Tony, with Dr. Ammon too, you know, with that, to see what we're gonna do next. I don't know. Our goal tonight was to get the information up to date and to look at scenarios on our funding.
Okay, so if I have this clear, all of the soft costs we can cover with the cash on hand. We've covered the water issue. Your question was, should we maybe keep more cash available in case there's more water mitigation issues that are coming up? So we have it. But if I'm clear, Mr. Okins is saying, no, we're good with that. He's cleared it with Mr. Christensen. We're good where we're at right now. So now the only thing that we're looking at is, are we bonding for 2 million, or what are we for Swanson Field and for Robbins Island?
That's, I think, something that I assume will be brought forth to us with what they think needs to be done. I mean, this is for information tonight, so we're not looking for a decision tonight. We're looking to gain the information, and I assume that when those numbers come in for Swanson Fields, and when the numbers are confirmed for Robbins Island, that there will be a recommendation from staff with how we should fund and how much we should fund.
Okay, another question on that. For Robbins Island, didn't we approve for them to go ahead and get bids for the shelters?
I'm saying no, and I asked Mr. Okins to check that up. Your motion was to do the roads, and the rest of it was put on hold. I know they're reviewing that, but it has not come back. In my mind, it has not come back.
I thought we had a whole discussion about righting the wrong that we did, or to make it right, ahead.
Yeah, but we did not have any motions, to my knowledge. Mr. Okins to clarify that. So, Mr. Okins?
I have not had a chance to go back. I know that I've had this conversation with Councilman Osmus as well as yourself, and what action actually was taken. I'm not sure if the invest in Wilmer, if the shelters would need to come back to them. I think they've approved. I'm not sure the status of it, but I know that there has been one meeting from staff level, and I think the advisory group has met once and are discussing what their options are for the shelters.
I will
have that information available for the council.
Okay. More than willing to look at that, but the last meeting of the Invest in Wilmer, the mayor was the one who said, we're not going to deal with that right now. We need to finish what's on our plate. And I know that the meeting took place the next week to talk about shelters. So it has, in my mind, it hasn't come back to us. And I guess the question I have is the group working to spend the rest of the money right now, or are we only going to do some pieces of it? Because with that, so there has, in my mind, it hasn't come forward yet.
Okay, this is my two cents then. They want to go ahead with the shelters, and we told them that because the money came in so cheap on the pavement, that the funds were there now, so to move ahead. So what specifically, which committees does it need to clear then for them to be able to go get bids?
And I don't think that's our discussion tonight either. I think that has to go through the ranks. That's maybe Administrator Grammett's with what the next steps are. Because it's not a financial question right now. It's a process question. And are they ready to bring forth that information? Then it needs to go through. I'm not sure where it goes, Julie.
Well, I guess my feeling is it's got to go through some committee to come up to the city council to reverse the idea.
I'm not,
going to get on hold.
I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just not our charge tonight to have that conversation. I really just want us to look at this information and then understand the process so we don't get caught up in it again.
And I can appreciate that, but I'm also thinking of the Invest in Wilmer people, and they, you know, got to be like shaking their head, like, what are we supposed to be doing? And I'm okay, so either we're able to tell them it has to go through finance, it has to go through Park and Rec, it has to go to Public Works, Public Safety, but some committee has to hear this to be able to have it come to the council.
And I'm going to agree with you. It's not this committee that makes that decision. Okay. And it needs to go back through whatever process has been set up. So it's not us that are going to make that decision tonight. Go ahead, Mr. Olkins.
Chairman Nelson, as part of my research to determine what action was taken, I will advise Administrator Grommets on where the status of it is, and I'm sure he's had conversations with Park and Rec Director Baumgarten as far as the process to continue and communicate that to the parties to be on what needs to be done to further the project at Robbins Island. I did have conversations with the engineering firm as far as the starting of the project, and the contract that is in place for the roads and parking lot are looking like they will be scheduling a start at the end of this month. So there will still be time to give that information to the committee and have it run through the appropriate committees to get it figured out before the end of the year.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Olkins. I really would like us to get back to the financial information. I know that we're all feeling like we're in a circle and we don't like it, and but this is not the group that's going to change the circle. And so go ahead, Councilmember Osmus, if you have a question regarding the numbers.
No, I was just going to say we had a Park and Rec meeting yesterday, and that was not discussed. I think they're waiting for the information to come from someplace else. And my feeling is it was financial. It was us telling them we're putting a hold on the spending of the money for the architects because of the finances. And so that's why I feel this committee.
That's why we're going through the numbers tonight, so that we can review where we're at and see what happens next. It's not us that's going to make that decision. Go ahead, Mr. Olkins.
In regards to the shelters, Robbins Island project was handled by the engineering firm. They had initially, there is no architect per se for that project. And so I believe staff is working with the contractor who did the Four Seasons shelter and getting advice on what with the committee on what our possibilities are. And I believe they will then, the committee will bring back their recommendation to the Invest in Wilmer group, who then will move it to the Park and Rec and then to the council through Public Works, which is what the process has been. But I will get that as part of my analysis of what action was actually taken in regards to the shelters.
Okay, let's go back to the financing sheets, please. Is there any other questions on the numbers that Mr. Olkins has provided us for our liabilities and where we're at with cash, so that we're comfortable with knowing that some of the decisions that we will be making, and I know you'll be updating this as you meet with Mr. Grommets, et cetera. Go ahead, Mr. Olkins.
One final comment on the sheet before we leave it is that even though this analysis is having the variables of using the full $2.5 million and spending it in cash, it can be changed at any time, even if we have paid the bills. And the reason I say that is because we did do an intent to reimburse resolution back when we had the entire projects approved of $30 million. And so even if we have paid out one and paid the soft cost with cash, the council will have the option to bond for that once they determine the level of bonding you want to do. and we would just reimburse and put it back into this, into the local option sales tax to pay whatever costs or whatever direction the council wants to go. So even though the bills are being paid and the cash is being used, we can reimburse that account and bond for those dollars.
Okay, so just to clarify, the Robbins Island was given approval to do the roads, and that's in process, but we haven't decided the funding. I mean, we know we can bond, but we haven't decided the amounts. The same with Swanson Fields. Swanson Fields was given permission to go out to bids and to see where the bids are at, and that funding is still up for grabs. And we had the conversation about the contingencies and the 10%. So those things will be determined when the bids come back and we have additional information, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then we had the discussion about the 10% and the resolution that would have to take place from the in order to meet our state requirements. Are there any other questions on this information that Mr. Oakens provided on the liability side of the things? Mr. Fagerly, Councilmember Fagerly, any questions? You're good?
I'm good. I'm just waiting for the bids to come in, then we'll actually know where we're at.
Sounds good. And we got to wait, I think, what was it, 3 weeks that it has to be before they'll be ready?
Two weeks.
Councilmember Ross, any other questions on the numbers or the process?
Nope. I'm just feeling like we missed two meeting opportunities then to get the shelter business up to speed, because they've already had an investment Wilmer committee and they just had a park and rec committee meeting. But
I'm not disagreeing with you. This is just not the group that's bringing that forward. So you can address that with Mr. Grammett. Go ahead, Mr. Oakens.
That would be a good segue into our last spreadsheet, if we could move on to that.
Please.
this scenario and analysis that we've done, again, is based on using cash. Now, we will prepare another one if that is the direction and what the committee wants to see of bonding for the full amount. Now, I am using the total authorized project levels that were in the statute. And so the spreadsheet and analysis that, again, we had preliminarily looked at with Baker Tilly a month or two ago, is taking the previous worksheet into consideration and using cash for the soft costs, the construction manager costs that I had of $174,000, and the hard costs of paying $500,000 towards Robbins Island. So the $500,000 of hard costs and $300,000 of soft costs, or $500,000 of hard costs and $200,000 of soft costs for Robbins Island is where the $2.3 million number came from. So I'm reducing the authorized amounts in each one of the projects authorized by using cash. Now, we can run a new scenario where we add those back if that's what the committee wants to see, and put the total amount, bond for the total amount in those scenarios. But using cash and using the amounts that are authorized by statute, will show you there that all the projects can be funded, except for we would be short on stormwater over the life of the sales tax by approximately $1.3 million. If we paid cash throughout the life of the sales tax for the stormwater work, as it is as it's recommended in the five-year capital improvement. So that being said, again, I can do a scenario by adding and bonding for the full amount and applying that cash towards stormwater and see if that will be able to fund all the projects. If you look under scenario one is again proposing to use 100% of the cash of $2.5 million. Projecting the $168,000 a month for the life of the sales tax, and you'll see there that we would be able to have $1.3 million along with the $500. So we would be more, we would be short about $5 million on the stormwater work if there was the average consistently through the life of the sales tax. Scenario number two is calculating the collections that we presently are averaging of $168,000 and adding a 2% inflationary factor per year into those collections, which we have some experience on the two previous sales tax issues that the city has had in past years. The first one for the library project and the second one for the Industrial Park Civic Center, bike pass. There was a fourth facet of that, but so there is an inflationary factor that we're comfortable in applying into our collections. Again, the collections have not dipped as much as we had thought they might, and we have been analyzing that to know that there is online sales that are happening. There are a lot of local purchases that maybe are happening because of travel restrictions, those types of things. One question that we had at our last finance meeting was with the Caterpillar now annexed into the city, what kind of impact would that have? And the only sales tax that is collected from those farm equipment is not, sales tax does not apply to the farm equipment. Heavy equipment, again, would have a sales tax factor that would contribute, so that would be helpful. But there's no vehicle excise tax and there's no sales tax on farm equipment. So that's the impact on Caterpillar coming in. But again, we applied a 2% inflationary factor, and that is projection. And with that scenario, again, we would be roughly $1.3 million short of the $7 million for the stormwater work, but all the other projects would be funded at the levels that they were approved in the statute. And so we can work with those numbers to see what reductions would be applied across the board, if that's what the council wanted to do, or if collections are higher or lower, this would have to be monitored over the life of the sales tax. And this scenario, we can run any scenarios that any council member or committee member would want. If they would give the suggestions to our office, we could run those scenarios and provide them to the council and the Invest in Wilmer group at their meetings in the future, if we're given the information and the scenario they want to see. One of them that I plan on doing is, again, bonding for all of the projects except possibly the storm sewer, and seeing what that will do to the numbers. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Opens. And I don't know on the scenarios, I think until we get some direction from what we're doing with cash and what we're doing with bonding with that. I think the only concern I have right now is these first couple projects have been easy because we chose in those because they don't carry operational costs. And in the time frame that we're in right now and not knowing what's going to happen with our budgeting, I think that we have to be aware of can we afford to do it with local option sales tax dollars, but can we afford to build the costs in of operating into our budget? And I was reminded of that today. I was on a meeting with the League of Minnesota Cities, and they were talking about the unknown of budgets for next year, and their words were to be careful and to be conservative. And so while we're all anxious to get these good things done, I do think that we have to put our council hats on to see what is our budget going to look like. What are we doing with that? And can we afford operational costs for some of the additional projects in the future? But I'm going to go back to Mr. Oaken's report. Does anybody else have any questions or requests for any type of different scenarios? Nope. Councilmember Fagerly?
I'm fine.
All right. Dr. Ammon, I don't know if this is helping or not, but I think it is a step in the right direction for us to understand the finance side of it and where we're at to make good decisions on what we can do next. So I hope that's helpful. And I know that the information was shared with the entire group. So feel free if there's questions to go ahead and ask those questions too. So thank you. Any questions you have right now?
I do not have any questions. It's just nice to see that if we're going to be short on the 30 million, we can finance this without bonding, save interest costs. And it looks like there's some cash to at least maybe free up for having the architect start drawing some projects that we can go to bid or see if we'll be allowed to go to bid if it's doable. But thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions on our first discussion item, sales tax analysis funding level review? Mr. Oakens, anything else?
No, and again, we will run any scenarios, and we can, as I said, if the council chooses to bond for the full amount, that is still very much a possibility, and the cash can be redirected. Again, as these projects progress, I think that the different scenarios will be able to fund the projects as the committee presented them and then were approved through the voters and the state statute. It's just a matter we have to monitor it. And I think the revenues will be there at the end of the life of the sales tax.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else on that? Otherwise, we're going to move on to state financial information update. Mr. Oakens.
Again, Councilman Nelson, I think you probably have more of a current update based on your meeting with the League of Minnesota Cities. I do sit on the Fiscal Futures Committee of the League, and we talked about the forecast. A formal forecast is not scheduled until November, but I think they said that there may be a preliminary one in September. I do know that the Commissioner of Budget Management and Budget, Myron Franz, has left the state and has accepted a position with the University of Minnesota. What that does or impact that will have, I'm not sure. But what we're hearing is that, as you mentioned, that a person should be approaching the local government aid and your property taxes. Are the two big revenues that we look at, and they just don't know at this point. And so that could have a major impact on us moving forward, if not this year, next year, probably for sure. So with that, anything that you have to add on today's meeting would be helpful.
No, I already shared kind of that the conservative approach, but one of the questions that was asked was about LGA and if there would be opportunities, and I'm not sure that we would be considering that, but if LGA were to be cut for next year, would there be an opportunities for cities to bypass the required dates for raising taxes? If, you know, if kind of that, what are we going to find out first, and how would you handle it if there was a substantial cut to LGA? And those were still questions. There were no answers, and I think you heard that same kind of information that we're not going to know probably till the end of November with some of that information. And so that's just it. Nobody seems to have an idea on the state budget forecast either. So go ahead, Mr. Oakens.
Two items that I would want to add is that as a staff level, we are putting together some different scenarios as far as our presenting to the mayor in regards to the 2021 budget. So we are having those conversations. And the second item would be that when this happened in 2008, 2009 on the unallotment, we had not the capabilities of amending the property tax levies because of the timing issue. And so if they're addressing that, that is could be a positive, but it would be mechanically difficult for county auditors to recalculate and send out new property tax notices due to the timing. So that would be a difficult task for them to do. So
okay, any questions on that? If not, our last one, and I asked Mr. Oakens to put this on. Councilmember Meske asked me to attend the community development meeting, and they have on their agenda item a department information update. And I think you were there too, Councilmember Osmus, and I thought it was a great idea for us to just have Mr. Oakens give us an update on what's happening in his department and any other information he wants to share with us regarding finance.
Well, we do have a staff of four people in finance, including myself. Three of the staff members have been working out of the office the majority of the time. We have one staff member who is working remotely and comes in once or twice a week. We are finalizing the audit. We have had an extension or a second extension due to COVID and the availability of auditors and their business and having everything extended. And so we have an extension through September 15th to have the final audit done. And then we will be bringing that to the committee for your review and discussion. The timing on that will be very helpful because that will be very similar to the timing on the mayor presenting his budget to the committee. Again, in September, the full council will have to take action on the preliminary tax levy by September 21st meeting, because the preliminary levy has to be certified to the county auditor by the end of September. So we have worked on the first draft of the 2020 budget with Administrator Grommets. We have not met with the mayor yet. His direction was to give him a balanced budget based on some certain criteria that he wanted to be addressed, and that we've done. So we'll be meeting with him when Administrator Grommets gets back. So the audit is finalizing. We've done the budget book preliminary balancing of that for next year. This year, again, as I've mentioned in the past, we are on track, depending, again, any kind of changes at the state level, but we are on track with our projections for our 2020 budget. Busy with the local option sales tax, the CARES funding, a couple of things that are not normal and are in addition this year. Our position that was approved in the budget is being worked with the administrator. And so we're anxiously awaiting that additional position to help with a lot of this additional work. Investments are, as you've seen on the investment reports, the amount of activity on that has increased dramatically too, with all of the investments being called. And we're working closely with the lending institutions and not only with bonding, but with the investment side as well. So it's a busy time. A lot of things, a lot of exciting things going on with our department. And so we'll see how the rest of the year progresses. So I'd be happy to answer any questions in regards to the finance department.
Go ahead, Councilmember Osmus.
Okay, so as far as your replacement, and working up with an assistant, hopefully that would possibly move into that position. The three other employees, if my understanding is correct, none of them would be interested in that assistant position and are either qualified or interested to move up?
I'm not sure that is accurate.
Ah, okay.
I can't speak to that, no.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking we were going to be hiring from outside. That I thought, okay. That's fine.
Oh, Julie, maybe you know something we don't know then.
No, so. I don't think so.
Okay. I haven't seen the job description yet or the time frame. So
I believe the job description is going to the labor committee on Monday for an assistant position. I think that was primarily a recommendation from Administrator Grommets for succession planning. I have no plans to leave anytime soon, but I guess that's, I mean, we talked about succession planning back in, I think, 2010. The council adopted a succession plan. So
it's time to bring it back. And my observation would be that your department, the help would be welcomed in your department for all of your staff. So we'll hope for the best.
Yep, that's why we ask for the additional position in the 2020 budget. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, as I mentioned, the local option sales tax, the CARES program and the tracking of that, we're converting to a new payroll system. And there's a number of projects that contract monitoring, where the number of contracts have expanded largely with all the extra projects that are going on. So there's plenty that the additional position will be able to do. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Fagerly, any questions?
Yeah, and that payroll system, is that that new program that we authorized a couple years ago? Is that up and running yet, or?
It is not up and running, primarily due to the COVID situation. It's made it a little bit more difficult and throwing some things in there. It is probably the one and only governmental entity in the state of Minnesota that will be using it, but we're working through that and hopefully we'll have it done before the end of the year.
So I think, what did we pay for, like $65,000?
I would have to research that. I don't remember what the cost for the program was.
Subscription will probably be due again, even though we haven't even used it.
Well, there are departments that are entering the data, and we're doing redundancy with paper timesheets yet until we get the emergency paid sick leave, which is the COVID part of it, because the council had authorized using that and not requiring the employee to use sick leave or vacation for those 80 hours. And so there's some tracking of that and reimbursement from COVID and those types of things that are causing a lot more additional work. So.
Just a question. There's two sides to that software, is there not? Is there one that's the financial side and one that's just the paperwork side, or is it all one?
It is strictly timekeeping and payroll. It would integrate, and we haven't gotten to the point yet where they're creating a file that will integrate to the financial budgetary system. It's primarily employee orientated, timekeeping and benefit side, and then that will be integrated into our payroll system. Okay. And financial system.
Councilmember Fagerly, anything else? Councilmember Osmond. Okay. I don't have anything else either. We are through our discussion items. The future agenda items are listed there. I don't know that we need to talk about any of those tonight. Are there any requests? Oh, go ahead, Councilmember Fagerly.
So that one, filing fee, what is that about? It's been on a couple of meetings now for future.
Go ahead, Mr. Elkins. I think it was something that Councilmember Davis asked about.
Yeah.
Yes, Councilman Davis had put the request in. I haven't gotten an actual request, but I was asked to put it on there as a future item. I believe she's had communications with Administrator Grommets on, I don't know if that's an increase in the filing fee, especially for special elections because of the additional costs, or exactly what that item is, but it was requested by Councilman Davis.
Well, we'll leave it on our future list until it's ready to go. So Councilmember Osmus, any other questions? Okay. All right. Anything else to come before our meeting tonight? Otherwise, I will ask for a Motion to adjourn.
I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. We are adjourned, and Dr. Eilman, if you have any questions about what you missed at the beginning, you are welcome to call myself or call Mr. Oakens to review that information if you would like.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks.
See ya.
Thank you, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Good night.